Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to the Dunktime AFL podcast. Two guys, one cup, grand final edition live show. We come to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain. And joining me is a man who was sacked as chief physician of the GWS. It's Adam Rosenbarks.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, everyone. Thank you. Yes, I'm the man who said to Phil Davis, mate, you'll be fucking fine. You've got two calves. You don't need a second one. Jack Riewoldt, he's cooked. You'd be fine, mate. Nothing will go wrong. And then I was proven incorrect.
What about Lockie Whitfield? What advice do you have for that?
Well, Lockie Whitfield, I did his operation of the appendix, and I didn't realise that when I pulled the appendix out, I also pulled out his ability to play footy. So that it didn't go very well. So I've lost my job, mate. I'm out of a job again.
Do you think there was a bit of backlash for Phil Davis for putting his hand up when he clearly wasn't fit?
Absolutely.
Do you think he'd have the captaincy taken off him?
Yeah. I think he should probably never play again. Like, just really make a point of it. So If anyone else wants to even think about doing that, you go, you fucking ruined everyone's life. Your teammates. He shouldn't go back on the plane with them.
Like,
separate themselves.
Have to drive back in a shitty car.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got to get an Uber back or something like that.
Yeah, he's got to cut the man bun.
Yeah, okay. Get disfigured so he's not beautiful anymore.
Yeah, get Toby Green to rake his eyes. I wish he'd fucking gouge my eyes out so I didn't have to watch that shit.
Yeah, sure. It was great theatre though, wasn't it? Who booed Toby Green in the crowd here? Oh, really? Not that man? Okay. But it was great theatre when he got it and they booed him.
Yeah, I fucking love him.
I love him as well. Who likes Toby Green? Who hates Toby Green? So about 50-50. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I think he's fantastic. And
it's good for the game. And he's good for surgeons, eye surgeons and optometrists and stuff.
Yeah, sure. And he's...
What are you going to say, Michael? What's running through your head here?
His fucking dad loves to fucking have a good time, doesn't he?
Now we need to get Will up for that.
Yeah, okay. We'll get Will up here. We'll talk about this. Will Anderson, please. Will Anderson!
Welcome.
Hello.
Where did you guys watch the game yesterday? Can we go
I was just
that?
At home. You didn't go this year, Will.
No, I didn't go this year, and I liked that. It was fun. It was fun to watch it at home. You forget that, like, it's mostly for the people at home. They designed the thing for you can hear the music and the pre-game entertainment. You concentrate on it. Everyone was, like, mad about the pre-game entertainment, like, today. I on the TV, I was loving it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't think I've ever enjoyed a pre-match entertainment at the AFL Grand Final more than... Now, admittedly, also, I can smoke pot at home and I can't...
Sure.
That might have something to do with it, but I like Tones and I was like, oh, aren't they young people?
So, she did the hit and then like another one. Did they just kind of do two songs?
She started with the other one and then she got to the hit.
Okay.
Which was good. Dance Funky. That was fun.
I like it.
Wow, this is the song the young people like. Mm-hmm. It was fun, I like that.
And you don't play that on Triple M though, do you?
Dance Monkey?
Yeah.
No.
But you play Paul. You would play Paul Kelly's, wouldn't you?
Bloody Paul Kelly, of course you do. It's the home of rock, sport and comedy. Yeah. Rock, sport and Paul Kelly. No, love Paul Kelly.
Yeah.
I reckon they should sign Paul Kelly to a 30-year deal. Just every year. Just do 2-year songs, Paul.
Yeah, sure. Which ones do you do? I didn't get there in time for that kind of stuff. I got it.
Fuck off. Here we go. You missed. You weren't there.
No.
That was like, what, half an hour before the game?
Yeah.
You were just like, oh no, I'll get there later than that.
I just strolled in. Just beautiful work.
So it kicked off at 2:30. What time did you saunter on through?
I saunter in about 10 past 2. I got into the actual arena. Like, I got into towards my seat when Mike Brady was up there playing one from the new album. I don't know what I didn't recognise it.
Hey, Mike, are you about... Yeah, I'll do it.
Okay. I'm already there. I'm on the wing. And then I went up to my seat, because I wanted to see them come out. I actually wanted to see what the noise was going to be like when the Giants came out.
So you were on level 3?
Level 4 as well at the top. Yeah, level row 4. R. Yeah.
Wow. How was it in the members?
It was fine. It was fine. It was very delightful. And, you know, there was, you know, Jeff Butlers who would bring you scones and tea. And
that was a three-quarter time foie gras.
Yeah, sure. The rabbit tureen this year wasn't so fantastic. But no, it's a completely fine experience. And I stuck around for the whole game. Like, I didn't get off to the bar or anything. Watched the whole thing.
You said that there were people, someone in there wearing their Melbourne cap.
Yeah. The thing I find, like, going into the grand final, they go, like, don't advertise that you're taking somebody's seat. Like, by the way, if there are any Richmond fans who didn't get to go last year, it was me. But yeah, I saw a couple of guys wearing fucking Melbourne caps. I saw a guy fucking wearing an MCC cap. And I was like, you
fucking hell.
Fuck off, Dad, you fucking wanker.
It's like, do you want to advertise? Like, that's the kind of person Toby Green's dad should be headbutting.
Yeah, we should call him in.
Do you get one? Do you get one with your membership? A cap? Is that, like, do you have to buy it?
Where I don't think you get a little starter kit. No, it's like, you know, okay, here's the membership card.
Season.
Yeah. Here's your, you know, your joke.
Membership to Xavier?
I was going to say, here's your membership to Scotch. I changed it.
Because you went to Xavier.
Fuck off. And, so did Bill Shorten. Okay, that's not a good point. but I stuck around for the whole game and then stuck around for the ceremony. Mm-hmm. And that was really cool. That was great to watch. And then I bumped into a mate and had a couple of drinks. Ooh, pretty hardcore. And
so there was no band, was there? No, there was a performance
there
afterwards?
Was, yeah. So I waited around. I thought I'd wait around. This is for the show as well. I thought I'd wait around to see the players come out again. Mm-hmm. And then I went down to Swan Street actually for the show as well, just to kind of have a bit of a look around and see what was going on.
Yeah. How was that?
It was really cool. Who went down to Swan Street? And how long were you there for? Like, what time did you get back? Late? 1 a.m? Yeah.
Could you get in anywhere, like with the bars?
Yeah, they were open. There were a couple of bottle shops I saw, like BWS's, which was shut. I think they barricaded them pretty quickly.
So 2 years ago when they won and everyone was crammed into Liquorland, and Mick Malloy tells this story, and they just started going, oh, we're from Liquorland.
So it was a tough day for GWS and BWS.
Look at that. Rolling around with all the fun.
And yeah, so I think in 2017, I think they were caught by surprise. I think that was more a spontaneous party.
Yeah.
And then this one, the streets were cordoned off. So at the Punt Road, that was cordoned off. And
were
then
they doing the haircuts?
Yes, they were. Who do we call it? What's the place where you get a beer and you can get the thing? Oh yeah, yeah. But Dr. Follicles, they were doing that.
Not a real doctor.
There were lots of people at the at the pubs. The Corner Hotel was like going forever.
Yeah.
And people kind of, it was kind of like spontaneous groups. So there was one bit that had like massive, like in a kind of Lennox and Swan. That was kind of the main action. That was the heat of it. And so spontaneous kind of things would come up, like the Richmond song.
How was it getting down there? Like, did you have to? Had they blocked off Punt Road? No.
It was actually, if no chairs in here and everybody stood up, it'd be like walking through that like that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So down Bratton Avenue across Punt Road and then...
That was already blocked off by the fact people needed to go to Richmond Station. This is really just a geographical story now, actually. And so there's a big kind of...
It felt like it was an interesting detail to get bogged down to be honest.
It was a group like this, like, you know, 6,000-7,000 people, and they spontaneously would start chanting the Richmond song, and like there was a guy with a trombone who got on the shoulders and started doing that, and then there were also...
Had he been at the footy?
Just like a big night if you've got a trombone? Like, are you sitting... Is this like Trombone Christmas? You're like, I can get out in a crowd. Yeah. I don't even back for this team, but they've got the best trombone song.
Yeah, there was a guy with a bassoon. There was a cello. It was an amazing thing. And there were chants. So there was like, Jason Costagna.
Can't kick a fucking goal.
And then there was, 0-5. And then there was Richo, Richo Man, the old classic. And then there was one as well. It was like, fuck you, Toby Green. Fuck you, Toby Green. And I thought it was really poor form of Peggy O'Neill to start that one. I thought, but I only went down there as my role as a behavioural awareness officer. I just wanted to keep people in check.
Yeah. How long were you down there for?
I was down there probably about half an hour. It was kind of good fun. I was kind of filming things, and it was beautiful. There were actually mums and dads with prams going through, which I thought was interesting. And I looked in, the little bub was in there, and he's gone, fucking dusty cunt. And I was just like, really emotional. But I saw actually one thing that really did happen, because that didn't happen. there was a lady who was just walking by, and it was quite funny. She kind of casually just shouted out. She's gone, Blues, go Blues 2035.
Oh, that's funny.
I thought that's okay.
Yeah, no, that's fucked.
You got a good 7-8-5 year plans before that one, mate, I think. you fucking losers.
No, I get it. How was your week? So I was at the AFL Grand Final Eve function at Palladium on Friday. I'm doing very well. And I saw your radio mate, Eddie Maguire, and I said, oh, how are you going, Ed? And he said, how do you reckon I'm going? I was like, oh, well, that...
Fucking hell.
No way to respond, mate. I was just seeing how you were. But how was he on Monday?
Well, you know what the funny thing is? That, like,
well, Collingwood,
you know...
losing, that was the funny bit.
So last...
Like,
year...
like 4 points as well?
Oh, 4 points, that was the best bit, sorry. There's one Collingwood person in the crowd who fucking hates me right
that
now.
That's really an incomplete answer. The truth is, the funniest bit was Collingwood losing, but it being so close.
Yep.
And that's what made it funny. But no, last year I was here, you know, obviously, and they'd lost the grand final, and I was worried about going to work the next day because I was like, oh, you know, how am I going to have to be, you know, around him, and, you know, is it going to be one of those situations where you have to, you know, be careful about what you say when you're in the office? And then just to show how I've changed in a year, this year the first thing that I did when we went on air was play There's a Big, Big...
And how'd that go?
Well, you know what? It went how I wanted it to go. If he hadn't been mad, it wouldn't have been as funny as for me. You know? Like, you know the funny thing is that, you know that photo of him, this is mean-spirited, but you know that photo that everyone's seen this week of him crying at the football? Like, it's just that one shot of his face just so sad. The amount of people who sent me that photo.
Yeah, Carla Maguire. It was weird. I wasn't watching the Foxtel coverage yesterday because I'm doing very well. And do you think... I imagine he was hosting the Foxtel coverage when they were doing the intro into the game. I imagine he was. Do you think when they saw Dylan Alcott come out to toss the coin, they just turned his mic down? Just, nah, don't say anything, mate. Do not say a fucking word. Do not say a fucking word. You can use that joke tomorrow, Will.
The worst thing is now you've put it in my head.
So, yeah, you chose not to go.
No, so Monday, it was a big week because obviously Brownlow Monday night. And yep. I was up in Sydney because we had Gruen for our first week this week. And so I'm up in Sydney by myself in the house. And you get a real insight into yourself when you're alone with your own choices, you know. Like, you can do whatever you want to do. Mm. So half an hour before the Brownlow, I decided I would watch half an hour of The Masked Singer, the TV show The Masked Singer, to see what's going on with that.
Hey, it was a good show.
So you missed the red carpet.
Yeah, I did miss the Arrivals. Yeah, that's actually what I chose between. I chose between the red carpet Arrivals.
And the singing prawn.
In fact, I would have watched the red carpet Arrivals if they all came in like rhinoceros and unicorn heads.
Sure.
In fact, I then watched the Brownlow. So I watched Masked Singer for half an hour, which gave me genuine anxiety. I had to I was like, what is this? I'm so old. And and then I watched the Brownlow and I was just like, just so comforted by men just counting numbers about who'd played well in games that had already happened. And I was like, this is my style of entertainment. But I would like, I think if they wanted to combine the two, the thing that I would like to see is, if, like, on Brownlow night, just to make it more interesting, it is a bit of a blind vote, Masked Singer. Like, so you know that, like, Unicorn's got 3 votes, but you don't know if Unicorn is Nat 5 or Lockie Whitfield, and you have to wait.
The winner gets on the stage, is like, take it off, take it off, take it off. Can I read out a tweet that we got, well, not we got, but from, this is from Grant Thomas.
This will be measured.
Yeah, can I read this?
But it's not to us directly.
No. It's about 3:12 yesterday. To me, it's still so obvious Giants win, and they are 29-9. So Richmond are 29.
Yep.
GWS were 9.
Yep.
Richmond then went on to kick the next 7 goals.
Yeah. Now, there's a reason St Kilda never did anything under him, so... thank you.
Hey, also, one thing I noticed...
Can I just back on?
I'm trying to wake up.
The fact that literally you've gone to that just to go, Grant Thomas is a cunt. There wasn't much other reason than just to back over that.
Shall we bring on our special secret guest?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, let's do that.
I think it's time to get in on. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, a super duper surprise, a massive Richmond supporter, friend of the show, please welcome leader of the Greens, Senator Richard Di Natale!
I think he's still a punt road. Here we go. Oh, look at that T-shirt.
Now, Richard is a surprise pop-in, by the way. Like, we reached out to him last night, didn't hear back, and we thought, oh, well, that's fine. That's totally busy man, you know. He's probably, you know, lying in a gutter in Swan Street.
Getting his hair cut at Dr. Follicles.
But then he shows up. We're like, holy shit, you want to come on? He's like, sick. So, welcome.
That's an exact recreation of that conversation. So, Richard, you were there again. We spoke to you after you won a couple of years ago, but you were there again yesterday. Tell us about your day.
Well, it was different. In 2017, we went to the function and I didn't think we'd had any chance of winning it. And so every game was just, you know, a bit of a ride and we ended up falling over the line. Whereas this time we were...
By 8 goals, mate.
Yeah, but we weren't favourites. Whereas this time we were favourites. So you had all the expectation going into it. So I was... And I also went with the kids and I thought it would be a good exercise in what it's like to... vote for the Greens in that there's a lot of expectation and you go in and you get disappointed. So
so you didn't take the kids you didn't take the kids last time?
No. Well, they were a bit younger. They were a bit younger. So
2 years
were
younger.
Six and... Yeah. Well, sorry. Yeah. Well...
By the way, if you're ever getting government, he's your treasurer. Yes. I know. It's an optimistic thought.
They were 6 and 9 and they really weren't, you know, I'd be
couldn't get through a full game.
Couldn't get through a game, you know, you'd have to have your iPads and you know, I don't want to go to a game of footy and have to sort of look after, you know,
be careful about the way
I treat my kids. Yeah, really, you know, you want to make sure that you're focused on the game. And they had a ball. They had a ball yesterday and it was just a great day. It was a really good day.
You could enjoy it for so long because you were so far ahead at half time. You go, we can just coast here.
Yes, which was not
put up an effort at all and they should be kicked out of the league for
it. Was a ball.
When do you think you had it?
Oh, probably halfway through the third.
Halfway through the third?
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, like, well, you know, 50 points is always, you know, remember the miracle on grass? Remember that one?
Yeah.
I kept thinking, I've got a couple of mates who are old Brisbane Lions supporters and they kept texting me Miracle on Grass coming up and I thought, no.
Yeah. Enough about Kevin Rudd. Come on, mate.
No, and I was going to say, if anyone messages someone from the Greens with Miracle on Grass, it could mean a myriad of different things, to be honest. And also, you know, look, you can be way ahead and still get beaten as the federal election shows.
That's so, right, exactly.
What are you like as a footy fan?
No, I'm not good. Not good. I get in... I'm better now because I'm with the kids.
Yeah.
But
when I saw you at the prelim, you were very...
We were getting done at half time and I thought, well, we might go down in flames here. But
and that's why I reckon Richmond didn't go in that confident because Geelong kind of spooked you, didn't they? And you were like, we could get rolled.
Well, after Collingwood the year before, you know, you go in as favourites, anything's possible. So I thought we might, and you're 21 points down at half time.
Yeah.
It's going to take a big effort to get there from there, but we...
Did you take the kids to the parade?
I did, yeah, they had a ball. To the parade, we've just been to the jumper presentation down at Punt Road today.
Awesome.
Now, we had a kick on the G. They've got open day at the G today. So
no
we
way.
Went, oh, awesome. Yeah. So we took the boys and recreated
now, when you're watching the grand final parade with your kids, do you have to whisper to them, they should be electric cars? Enjoy the day,
exactly.
But
and when you went on the ground, did you like did the kids put it through the goals and you said that's what Jason Castagna couldn't do 5 times? It's not that hard.
Can I ask what your story of the day was? Because for me,
there's only one. Marlon Pickett.
Amazing,
Marlon Pickett,
right?
Marlon Pickett, yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
They should start scouting prisons now. Like they should go down to Barwon. And just see if there's anyone with a bit of talent. You go, look, he's got, you know, 25 to life, but if he can get on a list, we can shorten that. He's good from outside 50.
I actually think that's a really good idea because it'd make that series of The Recruit.
Yeah, I'd watch that, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I like that because it's a great story. I mean, a great redemption story about how you can turn around your life and having 4 kids and like making your debut on grand final day and then just playing, like, you know, what, 3rd in the Norm Smith medal.
How
was
he?
It was
blind turn was fucking unbelievable when he kicked the goal.
Little dance around the corner.
Oh.
No, he was terrific. And it says something about, I mean, obviously, I like the team because I've been a Richmond supporter all my life, but I actually love the team now because the culture they've created down there, they're, They've got the Aboriginal KGI Leadership Institute.
Yep.
They've got Bashir Hawley's Foundation. They do a lot of great work with the Muslim community. They had the game today, I think this morning on the G, was the Muslim versus Ajax. So the Bashir Hawley's, Muslim Foundation versus Ajax, which is a Jewish club. And they're actually having, a game.
Any reports?
If they get over Ajax, they have to play Apex. It's a real tough game.
Bit of history. Traditional rivals.
The report. It's amazing to think that Richmond's won 2 out of 3 now, and it could have been 3 in a row. They won 2 out of 3. Or I like to think of it 2 in the last 38 years. Okay, that's how I. That's how I get by. But can you believe that? Like, you know.
Nah.
4 years ago, you were like.
I still can't believe it. I still go to the footy and I don't see Richmond as a dominant club. I see them as the club that's going to hurt you at any moment. If you've been watching them for as long as I have, Richmond is not a thing for a reason. You know, it's a thing for a reason. So, but I've got to get it in my head now. They're a bloody good club and there's a lot of good young talent that couldn't make it into that team. So I think they're in for a good few years.
And they're not getting older either. Like they're
age profile's very good.
Yeah.
The culture's very strong, so they can bring in players from out. Sydney Stack's a good example again. Got overlooked in the draft.
Yep.
No one wanted to pick him up because of his story. They've got a very strong culture there. They mentor very well. No, it's really good and fun to be part of.
Took a risk on a little kid from the Gold Coast called Tom Lynch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you reckon? No one had really heard of him up there, but you thought, we'll give him a crack. You can play full forward if you want, mate. Have a go.
He wasn't technically in jail, but it was the Gold Coast. So.
Yeah, he described it as worse than prison.
But do you reckon, like people seeing that, other players at the Gold Coast now, seeing that he goes 1 year straight into a flag, they've got no chance of holding Ben King and Lukosius and players like that, do they?
GWS have managed it, so I suppose Gold Coast have got to get it right, don't they? There's obviously a few issues down there, but he was called a liability, I think, into the season, wasn't he? Isn't that what Matthew Lloyd said about it? Yeah, so he's turned things around.
Hey, just quickly, Richard, can I just ask a quick question? I just want to get an au pair into the country. Can you help me out with anything?
It's Peter Dutton's your man.
A word to Dutton. Do you find that remarkable, the weird footy connection of, Gil and Dutton and getting au pairs? And
there was a little story I told Will earlier. I'm not sure if I should say it, but I will.
Say it.
Not recording.
We can cut it.
I went to the climate strike on Friday and went to the prelim afterwards and we were at the function and a couple of people who shall go unnamed brought in a big sign, a big climate strike sign, and they got me to stand behind Gil McLaughlin and we held it up during the game and he turned around and looked at it and the colour sort of drained from his face and two security guards came and took
and
us away.
And those two have now been deported. But anyway, it was a fun story.
Yeah, and it was that's fun for you, but for the poor GWS, they thought the climate strike was yesterday.
And so after the game, what are you doing? Are you watching the presentation? Did you hang around for the concert afterwards? Or
we hung around for a bit, then jumped on the push bikes, the kids went home. And watched a bit of it on the TV and basically got on the AFL website and relived all the big moments.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a quiet one. Like 2017, we went to the after-match function and did all of that, but
of course, just
did the family thing yesterday.
And can we ask you about next year? Is this now the Richmond dynasty? Do Richmond go into next season as confident?
Signs are good. I think it's Richmond will definitely be battling it out for the next few years, but it's hard to win a grand final. Everything's got to go right, and everything went right yesterday. I thought GWS probably just held on in the end, didn't they? They beat Brisbane, they fell in over against Brisbane, and they fell in against Collingwood. So
that was good.
Yeah, that was. I was with GWS all the way with that because the idea of going into a grand final against Collingwood and losing was.
I mean, it would have been good for Melbourne, wouldn't it? Like if that was the grand final, that would have been the best thing ever. But it's also
It was better for Richmond that they lost.
Yeah, exactly. It's good to know they're not there.
And can we officially say you're a better side without Alex Rens?
No, well, watch out when he comes back. Yeah, no, I feel very good about the footy at the moment. It's a strange thing when you're following a club, you'll get to. Feel that one day, Adam. But when you're following a club...
hey! You've Team Burn.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm going to vote Liberal.
You're going to set tyres on fire tonight.
Exactly, yeah. The wheel's turning, mate. The wheel's turning.
The wheel is turning.
Yeah. And Adam wrote this book. He didn't even want to. He just likes cutting down trees.
You know what I thought when the presentation happened at the end? Mm. So they bring out the kids and all that kind of stuff. And then Basher got up to get his medal.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit, oh, like there wasn't a mini Basher there. Why don't they do the presentation? And so each kid comes up and they're all minis of the various people.
It's a fucking great idea. Jeez, so you'd have like 22 GWS kids just sitting there going, well, this is fucked.
Well, yeah.
You got one little kid just going like that, raking another kid's face.
Yeah. You got a little mini trying to take off a man bun. Yeah, but yeah. Like, yeah, they'd be a lot of...
And they go, we can't find the mini Finlayson because we couldn't find the big Finlayson during the game.
The mini Shane Mumford's in the corner with the whiskers.
Little Frank Furter.
Can I say this about the kids? This is a weird point to get hung up on, but watching at home, I was annoyed by... They should tell the players and the kids that there's a method to getting the hat and the medal. The players come out and the kids should put on the medal because that's the cumbersome thing first.
Yep.
Then shake their hands. Then put the hat on top of them. Yep. That is the order it should go in. That's the best order. There was so much people trying to fuck it up and pulling it over a kid's eyes.
Right, this is a man who was for the first time watching it on telly. Yeah. Because usually you're too pissed when you're at the ground. You don't see that.
Exactly. But I had a real thing about it. I was like, just say to them the order. There's a fucking logical... Anyway, put the hat on and then trying to get the thing over the...
Yeah, we should fuck the kids off, I reckon. Yeah. They're a waste of time.
The kids are great.
Who wants to give kids
joy? I want more with the kids.
So we have two or three kids come out at the same time, so it's even more cumbersome.
Well, I like that they seem to have highlighted, again, I like this stuff about the AFL, and I know that some people don't, you know, whatever, but I like that we respect, you know, they try to respect and acknowledge the Indigenous contribution to the game. I like the fact that with the kids, there was a blind kid, there was, you know, clearly some other kids who, you know, who had been there for whatever special reason, this was going to be one of the greatest days of their entire life.
Was that Razor Ray's son?
To be up. Yeah. He was blind, but did not shut up.
Mini Razor Ray. Why do we have Mini Razor Ray?
Because you'd feel bad punching a kid in the face, wouldn't you?
Plus, the kid would be bigger than him still. So.
You'd get used to it.
All right. Well, there you go.
Oh, and then I also thought it was very sweet that Maureen Hafey got to come out and present the cup.
That was nice.
I thought that was a really nice touch. And I thought, seeing that he's involved at GWS, I thought it would have been really nice if they got Nadia Bartel to come out and present the cup to...
Now, that would have been really nice.
Shall we bring out our next guest, Adam?
Yes.
Why don't we do that? That's ladies great. And gentlemen, please welcome on stage a very funny man, Adam Spencer! Yeah, hang around, man.
Keep clapping.
On
he's
the
coming.
Way. On
Come
the
on,
way.
Spence.
On the way.
Sorry. Took my time.
Hello.
Pull up a pew, man.
I was up the back reading this incredible book that you asked me to plug.
Is it The Rat by John Platton?
Yeah, one son, one dad, 3 weeks in hell. Adam Rosenbach's Paris and Other Disappointments.
One son, one dad, 12 weeks in hell.
Exactly.
Toby Green and his dad. On an end of season trip.
No way to treat a fucking book, by the way, but anyway.
Look at you.
I'll give you one little tip. When you go past a bookstore, if you ever see, if you go past and you walk and you say, hey, have you got a copy of, and you ask for your book, and they'll say, oh yeah, I happen to be the author. Would you like me to sign the book for you?
Yeah.
They get very excited. Now, you do it for two reasons. One, because the first thing they'll then do is take all the copies of the book and they'll move it up to the window, signed by the author, free advertising for everyone walking past, right? Great. The other thing, the way the books work is the bookstore doesn't buy your book. They just get sent 50 of your book. Yeah,
nobody buys this book. No,
they have the book for 6 months.
Yeah.
And if they can't sell it, they send it back.
All right, this is not a good tale.
Unless it has been, and I quote, altered or materially defaced.
Really?
Is that right?
And a signature counts as an alteration.
Really? So if
they can't send it back. And a signature is a sale. So I will sign every fucking book of mine every so. You're getting about $4 a signature, mate.
Okay. Thank you.
Altered or defaced. So I encourage everybody, go into a bookshop and piss on Adam's book.
Yeah, just deface it away.
And you've got about 10 maths books out, haven't you?
Yes.
Done a whole bunch.
Yeah.
What are you doing in a maths book?
What do you do? You explore the beauty of the world in numbers.
In numbers.
What are you, the fucking Count from Sesame Street?
No. Though the Count, if you're on Twitter, there is the Count from Sesame Street Twitter account, and each day he just counts one more. It's awesome. I'm so alone. But I thought, I was going to channel my inner maths nerd and walk you through the AFL Grand Final by the numbers.
I love it.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah.
Awesome.
Now, I want to start. I did the right thing trying to plug your show. I want to give a big shout out here. I tweeted this afternoon that it might be a chance to be on the show. I sent out this little tweet saying that I've heard this rumour that one of the secret guests for Junk Time AFL Pod live at the European Beer Cafe this afternoon is a drop dead spunky maths nerd. And I want to say a big hello to James, who tweeted back, "Is it Eddie Wu?" James, fuck you. I want to make one very clear point about Eddie Wu. I fought for 20 years for my position as Australia's best-known mathematician. And along comes Eddie Wu. Anyone does it on the internet. Eddie Wu. As a 50-year-old white guy who might lose his job to an Asian, I am the victim here.
Richard, can you stop the boats? Can you stop the boats?
Now, you're a Sydney fan, aren't you?
I'm a big Swans fan.
So you just came down just to have a look at the...
I did the Swans Grand Final. So each club does a Grand Final breakfast or event. So I do the Swans Grand Final breakfast every year.
Okay.
Regardless. So I've done it in years when they're in the Grand Final and when they're not. And you can tell the mood quite differently. It's great when they're not. It's great fun. It's having a drink, cracking a few jokes. When you're in the Grand Final, those things, that 10 in the morning till midday function is just nerve-wracking, gut-clenching. No one, everyone just wants to get their tickets and go to the game.
They're not into the entertainment at that point.
No,
they're just like, we just want to get to the games. Why won't this fucker shut up about Eddie Wu? Yeah.
Exactly. First number from yesterday. The first number that... Everyone thinks it's the big numbers yesterday, 114, 25. No. First number yesterday,
61.5.
The distance that Taylor Harris kicked the footy in the Fox footy big kick.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
And of course, 0615, which was what Toby Green's dad blew.
Exactly. 61.5. That was disgraceful. What on earth is going on here with Taylor Harris coming out and having a kick in the big time? Yeah. Who were her parents? Is this some sort of Greta Thunberg-like child exploitation, political... Just because she can kick the ball further than Tex Walker, Josh Kennedy, Javen Stevenson, Daniel Rich and Charlie Kurnow having 10 attempts, what sort of PC mad society are we living in?
Oh, I get it. You're making the opposite point of what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Tough crowd, Adam. Move on. Okay.
Having said that, she kicked a long way, but no one marked it, so she can't hit a target. Okay, that's all I'll say.
Second number of the day.
Okay.
142.3. This was what was given to the crowd before in the pre-game entertainment as the by decibels.
What is with that?
Most noise a sporting crowd has ever made. So Virgin sponsored a competition to break that record yesterday, right?
So who held it?
Undisclosed. I'm pretty sure bullshit. So a couple of things really upset me. So they had a few dudes in Virgin was going, okay, 1, 2, 3, make some noise. And we didn't break it. The crowd, we recorded 124.6 decibels. The record was 142.3. Yeah. And the dude hosting it said, oh, bad luck, you got so close. Well, anyone who understands anything about the science of acoustics, that is not so close. Because as you know, decibels is a logarithmic scale. So from 124 to 134 is double perceived loudness. To 144, we needed to be 4 times as loud. And it just got the day off to a scientifically horrible... And I think...
That's what the people down Swan Street were talking about afterwards. Richmond won, but fuck, it was sullied by the 124.
It clearly rattled...
Even the guys from Champion Data are like, you're a nerd.
It clearly rattled the Giants. Jeremy Cameron was running around all day going, that should have been 4 times. And if you, the point I make is this. If you want that crowd to produce a world record noise, don't get a Tongan guy in a Virgin outfit going, 3, 2, 1, make some noise. No, they should have. They should have just got the crowd to complete silence. Yeah. Walked Toby Green to the centre of the ground, and placed a football in his hands. Because every time that happened yesterday, there were 200 fucking decibels coming from the place. The noise the Richmond fans made, like you were 70 or 80 points in front. He does an innocent handball to another guy who gets murdered. And you're still, boo. Were you booing every time Toby Green touched the ball?
Yeah, you were booing?
I was booing, yeah, absolutely. I was.
Really? Yeah. You're a booer?
Shit check. Yeah. It's Toby Green, for God's sake.
Does it hurt you, though, that his last name is Green?
That joke was made yesterday. It was made.
Third number that defines the grand final is that great moment on the day when they post the official crowd figure.
And everyone goes, whoa.
Because it's always just either side. It's a hairbreadth either side of six figures. It's either 99 and a lot or just over 100. It depends on corporates, members, that sort. Early in the fourth quarter, they posted 100,014 for 100,014 people. And I think we have to take a moment to thank those 14 GWS fans who turned up yesterday. Because if it wasn't for them, it would have been absolutely line ball.
Look at old mate, Sydney Swans. Yeah. Top end of town.
Lording it over them.
Unlike there's another Sydney team in town.
That's actually a question I have. Do you feel animosity towards the Giants? Like, are you kind of like, this is our town, man? Mm. I mean, not to say that you'd ever head west, but...
after yesterday, I could not be more relaxed with the whole Giants thing. No, I have sufficient respect for that rivalry that there's no way I could have supported them yesterday.
No. Mm. I mean, Adam fought in the Battle of the Bridge.
But it was not a good man. There was 60,000 of us and three of them. So we absolutely right on it.
They made a big sound.
Okay, the number that defined yesterday for me is the number 130. Now, this is interesting because whenever we talk about your Brownlows and choosing the best players, you get into these debates about, you know, should the umpires choose the Brownlow? They're so busy. They're running around. They're doing all this sort of stuff. And 30 years ago, sure, but now we've got data. We've got the numbers. We've got the science. We can do analytics on all sorts of stuff. And it's fascinating. When you look at the champion data numbers from yesterday, Dustin Martin was not, according to champion data, the best Richmond player on the ground. He was nowhere near the best. If you look at the number yesterday, Dusty came, I think, fourth amongst all the Richmond players on the ground. The Richmond numbers, best Richmond player on the ground according to champion data, was Hooley at 114.
That's two grand finals where he could have won the Norris Cup of them.
Vlaston at 106.
Vlaston.
Yeah. Kadai at 101. Raya Walletit at 93. And then Martin at 91. So he's fifth. He's fifth amongst the Richmond. He's ninth on the day.
Yep.
The person who, beyond dispute with the data and the analytics, had the most influence on the game yesterday was Heath Shaw. Heath Shaw, and it's two things there. Richmond play a very sort of flat uniform game style where everyone contributes all the time, and he was totally under the pump and had a lot of the ball. He, by any data metrics, he clearly won the day yesterday. So I'm calling on the AFL in acknowledgement that the stats are in. Let him have a couple of days, but Tuesday or Wednesday, the AFL should come out and officially rescind Dustin Martin's Norm Smith. Award it to Heath Shaw, do it on the front steps of Parliament House, and I'm sure that the people of Richmond will come as one and say, no, that's a fair call, and we're completely cool about that.
I think you're just missing one point, which is that he had the unfair advantage of the ball being in his side of the field most of the time.
Oh, yeah, he had his work cut out. 130.
Kicked it out a lot. He gets kicks for kicking it out.
You can't dispute those stats.
Every time Richmond missed, he got a possession.
Yeah,
that's that doesn't make
sense. Yeah, so he should share it with Castagna, obviously, who kept kicking it to him.
Yeah, and Castagna had money on Heath Shaw for the Brownlow.
Oh, I missed another.
I don't think a lot of people have taken stuff off the Martins.
No, you've got a fair point there as well. Like, okay, final number, and this is a, you've got your Norm Smith, you've not your best on ground. I'm about to release now officially the hog, hottest on ground.
Oh, okay.
This is a poll compiled by my 14-year-old daughter, Ellie, has looked at and decided the three hottest players to take the field in the grand final yesterday. I'll give you a hint. Two from GWS and the winner from Richmond. So GWS third and second, winner from Richmond. She's compiled it from three different sources. what she thought about going into the game one year, Sam. What she saw as the official individual player photo in the record, and then from any Instagram footage she could quickly track down. We've averaged those numbers together.
And can we have a crack?
Yeah, yeah, to three decimal places. So we need two.
Who's the hottest in your team, Richard?
I reckon De Boer, Davis, and who's the Richmond player?
Shorts, kind of handsome.
Okay. So you're going De Boer, Davis, and who's the hottest guy on the 2019 premiers?
What I loved is
Marlon
name
Pickett. Marlon Pickett.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're thinking of my 14-year-old daughter. I mean, no disrespect to Marlon Pickett at all.
Yeah.
You're picking my 14-year-old daughter.
She likes a bad boy.
To pick a 27-year-old.
Her favourite movie, Shawshank.
Father of four, ex-con.
No, but if you're in prison, he might be the hottest.
Oh, no doubt. You scored 0 out of 3. Okay.
No Phil Davis.
Oh.
No Phil Davis.
Phil Davis. Wow. I would thought a 14-year-old girl might like Phil Davis because he looks like a beautiful horse. look at him. I could ride him. I mean, literally.
He wears glasses. Okay, he's intelligent. Conceivably,
one of the people in that, in the three, might have a bit of that sort of metric about it.
Himmelberg.
Okay, keep
going. I'm going to say Himmelberg. I'm going to lock in Himmelberg. I'm going to say Tom Lynch for Richmond. And my other GWS player is...
It'd be more fun to rule people out.
Yeah, sure.
It's definitely not Mumford.
Okay, yeah. Be great if Mummy was one of them, though, wasn't it? That'd be horrible for him.
He'd be worried.
And I saw this video of him and I just...
Yes, love at first
sight. Other Instagrams were fine, but he's just fucking off the hook, dude.
You got one more, Jennifer? You...
I would say it's got to be... Someone?
Nick Haynes.
Oh, no. What about Taranto?
I will give you 1 out of 3.
Oh, all right.
You have correctly identified Himmelberg.
Okay.
Who was ranked second in the hog in the 2019
grand final. I've done one for the team, guys.
Okay.
So.
I need one more GWS player and, according to my daughter, the hottest Richmond player to go around on the day.
I'm going
to
go, hottest on the ground for the day. I'm going to go with Mike Brady, first off. Second, Razor Ray Chamberlain. I'd go Phil Davis, and then I'd also go...
You just ruled him out, you fucking idiot.
I know, I'm just going by hot, because I like Phil Davis. And then...
Michael's honouring the day. Phil Davis should have been out, but he's back in for some reason.
Hot Richmond? We're looking for hot Richmond, aren't we?
Hot Richmond. Not personally looking for hot Richmond, but this segment is requiring a bit of hot Richmond.
Okay, Michael.
I'm going to go broad.
I'll do something what I do quite often. Okay, channel the mind of a 14-year-old girl.
No, you've got the voice, so down.
Richmond. Jeez, they laughed hard at that, didn't they?
I think I just broke a virgin record.
I'm going to go with... I don't know, Nate Curvis, whatever. He's not hot, but I'll go with him.
You've contributed nothing to the discussion. Okay, Adam, have you got any lock on one more hot GWS player?
So you said you were going with Broad, right?
Yeah, I reckon. Broad is kind of handsome. GWS, I'm trying to run through their midfield. It's not like a Josh Kelly or someone like that. Jeremy Cameron's not...
What about like Williams or something? Did you like...
Oh, yeah, Zach Williams is kind of...
Adventurous kind of sort of... Yeah.
So the official marks in the hog for 2019, though I will say we were staying in the same hotel as the GWS players.
Oh, yeah.
And the day before said GF, I did catch the lift in the Pullman Hotel from level 12 down to level 1, which is where the health and fitness spa section is. And I was joined in that lift by one Tim Taranto, who was wearing a knee-length tracksuit pant and nothing else because he was going down for a sauna and just a relaxation session. And if I had a body like his, I would never wear anything other than a pair of knee-length tracksuit pants and just get around. He's a very, very easy on the eye. Good-looking man.
And incredibly uncomfortable with you telling him.
Exactly.
Yeah, he got out of level 11.
I forgot everything.
It turns out those emergency stop buttons do work if you really hit them hard.
Adam pushed for level 3, but he didn't use his hands. So
exactly.
Hey-o.
Third place in the hog for 2019 from the GWS Giants, scoring 8.64 out of 10. Lockie Whitfield.
Oh.
Really? Even without the appendix?
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe the scar gives him a bit of personality. Sure. Second place from the GWS Giants.
Feels just like he looks a bit too avatar-y.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He's got like that avatar face.
He almost looks like a series of hot guys that have been put together to try and get a bit hotter.
Yeah.
And it hasn't quite worked
out.
Like exactly. A labradoodle or something.
Yeah.
The labradoodle.
He looks like one of those actors in a movie you were like, oh, you were hoping for someone a bit better.
Yeah. Second place, Harry Himmelberg, 8.87.
Yeah, good.
First place, Richmond.
What are these? What are these numbers?
These are the votes out of 10, correlated to two decimal places. Once you put it through a very complicated formula, which involved me saying to Ellie, "Well, fuck it, just put some decimal places on the end." First place.
Must be fun to have him as your dad.
Oh yeah, a lot of fun. Mate, she's loving this podcast while doing some maths homework up the back of the room.
Yeah, sure.
First place, Richmond, number 17, Daniel Rioli.
Oh, yes, of course.
Oh, yeah.
The crowd goes
you
back.
Said Instagram. He's the one who owns Instagram.
Exactly. Tell me Daniel Rioli doesn't have a little bit of that sort of...
Dreamy.
He's dreamy. Yeah.
Well, him and Fev's daughter are like... Yeah. And they're just the hot young couple in Melbourne football entertainment.
All I can say is I was just so excited that when the votes came in, one Toby Green did not feature at all on the list because there's something as the father of a 14-year-old, you know, sometime, you know, a few years from now, I'm going to actually meet the first serious boyfriend. And the thought that if I meet the first serious boyfriend and extend for the shake and, you know, to ask, what's your intentions with my daughter, I'm greeted with a flying karate kick.
Yeah, sure.
And then eyes being vigorously dispatched to the eyeball region. I'm like, that's not the way you want to break the ice.
But then imagine when you meet the family for the first time. Oh, yeah.
That's one great speech at the wedding, isn't it? When the father of the groom gets up.
Yeah, it's a video link from Barwon.
Yeah. In handcuffs.
It was good to see a Rioli have a victory on grand final day.
So that's the AFL grand final by the numbers.
Good.
Thank you, mate.
Good, man.
Yeah, no trouble at all.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Rich, we'll let you go back in the crowd and get away from us idiots. Sure. Thank you so much for coming along, man.
Thank you so much for
Rich Regina Tolle.
Now he's gone. Fuck, man. How shit are the Greens, right? No, they're fantastic. They're my second favourite party. After an S Club party. Hey, we're going to give Charlie Clawson a call. Is that okay?
Yeah, let's do that.
Magic of technology.
Can you explain why he's not here, or does everyone know?
Yeah, he
became
a
father last week. Child. Ringing now. Hello, Charlie. Hello, Charlie.
It's still ringing. This is for all of you who've sat at home wondering, I wonder what the magic is like inside the studio. When Will and Charlie play that, you know, 10 seconds of hold music, I wonder what really goes on during that time. You're getting an exclusive insight right now.
Well, this is what I like, is because I consider, you know, Michael and Adam to be more technologically evolved than we are on our podcast. So to see them struggle with this.
It's Julio. Oh, our
hang on.
Is up
that
here.
Looked like that was not plugged. Like, all he's done is come up and plug something in that was not previously
we
plugged in.
We might have had a bit,
makes me think. Oh,
ooh, yeah.
Oh, hang on. That sounded like.
Hello, Charlie, are you there?
Hello.
Oh.
Yes, I'm here.
Charlie, it turned out the technical issue was it was not plugged in.
Yeah. Mate, we have just recreated.
Can I just say, by the way, I could hear you guys talking about me, and I could hear Adam Spencer somehow saying that this is very reminiscent of what Charlie and Will are like. I had nothing to do with this fuck up. I'm in a completely different state.
But we just recreated the magic. I think that's pretty much what it felt like at Houston Control when they landed on the moon and Armstrong said the Eagle has landed. There was just this eruption of excitement of people around a technological device just bringing it together.
Can we first up say from the Junk Timers and the Two Gun One Cup is out here, Charlie. Congratulations on your new baby.
Yes.
Thank you. And I don't know if everyone knows, but we actually finally came up with a name. So Marlon Trent Dusty Clawson. She's a ripper.
Now, you had a little girl, didn't you, Charlie?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, and she's seen the same amount of St Kilda premierships as you, is that right?
I feel like before the game started yesterday, I was like, well, maybe she'll be a Giants supporter. Maybe this is something that I can get her into so I can enjoy some of her success vicariously. But no, I'm having second thoughts now.
And so what were your thoughts in the game? You were just watching it at home or did you go somewhere?
No, we're in sort of the baby bubble right now. So I just had a little spread out on the table. My daughter was next to me. What did I think of the game? Well, I feel like I couldn't work out who shut themselves more, my daughter or the Giants yesterday. And then by three-quarter time, I was doing housework.
I think when it comes to the question of who shut themselves more, it's safe to say the Giants, okay?
Has Alex Williams been on stage yet?
Not yet. He's going to be coming up next after this phone call.
Oh, boy. I hope you make him cry.
I think he's all out of tears.
And so, are you going to make her a St Kilda supporter?
Look, undecided yet. I mean, my wife has confessed to me in the last couple of years that she's actually a Tigers supporter. So I feel like there may be a tug of war. And I mean, it's child abuse, isn't it, to make your kid a St Kilda supporter at this stage?
Well, I do know because my very good friend Rhys Muldoon is a mad sainter, and I don't know if all the other clubs have got on board with this yet, but his girl, who would be 11 now, I do know her official birth certificate was that the St Kilda have a St Kilda themed. You can be born a sainter. You can actually get. I know it's a scar you carry for life. But so if you want to lock it in a way that your lovely wife, even though let's be honest, she did 99.98% of the work on the big day, does not have any say in it. If you get the official St Kilda birth certificate, I think that's a big hurdle for your wife to overcome.
And do they give you a neck tat as soon as you come out as well? So Chuck, what was it like watching it at home? Because you've gone to the game the last few years. What is the difference of watching it at home?
Yeah. It was boring as. I've got to say, I started looking forward to nappy changes. But I've got to say, a bit of controversy. I went in to change my daughter's nappy, and I thought it was urine, but it turned out it was Gatorade. She pulled a Willy Rioli on it.
Well, we were just talking about Daniel Rioli before, and he did the four sign for Willie.
Sticking up for Willie.
He had 44 on his wrist during the game.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, the good thing about your daughter's situation, Charlie, is she could get rubbed out for 4 years and still come back to play around the time that she can speak.
She can definitely go to Aussie.
And Charlie, we've been doing a regular thing here for people who have daughters on the show. Did you ask her who her three hottest players in the game were?
Yeah, big fan of Marlon, Dusty and Trent.
How was that story, Charlie? We've been talking about it, but the Pickett story is one of the most amazing grand final stories. Were you captivated by that?
I mean, it's awesome that, you know, this guy has a flag and I've been following football for 40 years and I haven't seen one.
Was it clear to Will and Charlie, or was it clear on TV? Because at the ground, the moment Dusty sought him out with the kick, this noise started building. And when he put it through, it was equivalent to crucial goal that puts you probably ahead to win.
Yeah.
I saw Malcheski's goal in 2012 and the release from Swans fans there.
Fuck you, man. Fuck
exactly.
You.
And I'm happy to walk you through it. Comes out of the pack, Hanbury handles one back snap. But we were only half...
Hanbury, the St Kilda champion.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
we were only half the crowd that day. That was noisy. But yesterday, the moment he put that through, in a, no disrespect to him, meaningless goal in the scheme of things, the noise, it was unbelievable. Was that clear on the telly, Charlie, just how eruptive a moment that was?
Yeah, I mean, thank God, because the whole game was so boring, it needed some kind of highlight. It felt like... not only the crowd there, but the commentators were barracking for that moment as well. To me, it was very reminiscent of 2007, that Geelong-Port Adelaide grand final, where like after quarter time, you're like, this is a terrible, terrible game of football.
And also it strikes me with Pickett that everything's downhill from now on, isn't it? Like, first game, you've won a flag.
Yeah, there's no more AFLX to kind of...
lure you through.
Climb the mountain again.
Can't get back into the rampage or anything like that.
Well, you're toying between... a retirement at probably the greatest moment in your career and earning a living wage for the first time. Like, it's game-changing. If this guy gets a contract at a football club, that just changes his life altogether. But he may well never have a moment like yesterday if he plays 150 games.
And he's also won two premierships in a week because he was best on ground in the VFL premiership. So he's won that, then rolled it around in the grand final.
If you're going to tap out.
I mean, it's a great moment when they're singing the song in the grand final and you have to stand in the middle because it's your first win.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great day.
But also, why are we not watching the waffle more? Tim Kelly's come out of there. Marlon Pickett's come out of there. Like, it's clearly, there's some good players running around. What are we doing? Like, just not watching it.
Well, you fucking watch it then, mate. You're not watching it.
You are right. The list of people who've ever received a Gatorade Bukkake shower...
Mm. Don't say
while
shower.
Wearing a premiership medal is one.
Yeah.
That's a very, very elite club of footballers to be in.
There was some guys, I was listening to Triple M with the coverage during the game, and there was
the Wolfpack.
Yeah, the Wolfpack. No, are they still the Wolfpack? Either way.
Yeah.
But because I mean that man touched that guy's wallet and wife, so I don't think it's called the Wolfpack anymore. But they had this stupid question. They said, check the...
Without notice?
His question without notice. He said, check the record books. Has anyone ever won Norm Smith and debuted in a grand final? It's like,
don't
of course
check the
that's fucking
book.
Happened. That never fucking happened. Yeah. You fucking idiot. You commentate football. You fucking should know this shit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, in fact, James, it's happened five times. That's what he should have said.
Yeah.
And so JB through the rest of the game will be, oh, it's happened five times. Could that be a sixth? But also Pickett, and we'll get back to you, Charlie. You maybe got a special
friend. Yeah, I'm still here.
Maybe you got a special friend there. Pickett at the interview with Daisy Pierce, and she said to him, you know, when did you get comfortable? And he said, the moment I walked on the ground. And I was like, that's pretty fucking hard ass, isn't it? That's fucking awesome. And then he even wrapped up the interview himself. He just said, oh yeah, thank you, and just walked up. Daisy's there going, back to you,
that?
I think.
How did you see that when you were at the ground?
I think, I don't know. Oh, they played it on the radio through the... Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Right.
Chuck, so we might let you go if that's okay. Unless there's a special friend you might want to... Is there anyone hanging around your house? Might be an au pair or something?
Yeah, we actually did. Gil sorted us out with an au pair, made a phone call to Peter Dutton. So I'll just put him on the line. Just wait one second.
For us, thank you. That'd be great. That'd be great.
Who's staying at their place?
Oh, there
we go.
Ah, bonjour, bonjour. It is I, Marc Lacroix.
Did you enjoy yesterday's game, Mark?
Well, I thought it was an interesting game because I did not know that GWS were French.
Why do you say they're French?
Well, it's the way they just gave up when things got too hard. I'm like, that slogan of never surrender, clearly. They took a leaf out of the Frenchman's book and surrender at the first opportunity.
It's an interesting philosophical question. Is it racist if
he's French?
To be, yeah,
no, he's French.
Yeah, but
he is French.
But we can't see his face, so he's currently doing blackface, but it's not racist.
Well, no, he's doing French face. He's dressed as a mime.
He's got a moustache.
Can I ask, can I ask quickly, I don't know if you saw the big kick yesterday morning, but Taylor Harris put one like 10 plus metres beyond what Josh Kennedy tried with two fairly miserable torps. As a West Coast Eagle, were you embarrassed by the effort Josh put up, or were you not surprised that under pressure he could not get within 10 metres of the leading kick in the AFLW?
No, I am French. I love women. I celebrate the AFLW and women's football. And besides, JJK, since he lost his sidekick, the little Frenchman, he has not been the same player. I think he's in a bit of misery. I think he's depressed. But what can you say when the little Frenchman retires? It lets a huge hole in off the stadium.
Mr. Lacroix, we'll let you go back to...
Oh, no, I've got one quick question for Mr. Lacroix.
Adam's got one more question. Sorry, Mr. Lacroix.
What did you think of your former teammate Willie's drug test?
Mm.
Mm. Oh, you know, Willie Rioli, sorry, I've got something in my throat. Excuse me. I'm smoking a cigarette out of a stem as I speak right now. Willie Rioli... He should take a leaf out of my book. He should come over to France and put his feelings into some poetry. Write something existentialist. Maybe he could be the next Albert Camus. But before I go, I just want to say one thing. I have an idea to help the GWN's Giants in season 2020. I think the problem over there at Giant Stadium is the cuisine. I think maybe they should change it into something a little more French. For example, they should have escargot instead of pies. They should serve fine wine instead of beer. And instead of doing face painting, they should offer poetry classes. That is all I have to say. Marc Lecrae saying au revoir.
Au revoir, Marc Lecrae.
Ladies and gentlemen, Charlie Clausen to Marc Lecrae. And why don't we keep that applause going? We'll get our next guest on stage. Please welcome a forlorn GWS supporter. Please welcome Alex Williams. Hey. Support him, guys. Give him a... He's sad.
Green. You don't have to boo.
Thanks, man. I was talking to you during the week and you were so fucking excited about the game. You messaged me when you got to the ground going, fucking, how good is this? How you feeling? He's done a spit take already.
Yeah, fuck. It didn't go well.
How so?
Yeah, okay. I'll break it down for you. Yeah. I've had a couple of weeks off. I'm shooting a show over in Perth, and so I had a couple of weeks off. I was like, yep, got to Brisbane, watched that game, great, had a ball. Cheered, lost my voice, and then I came down to the prelim, you know, beating the Pies.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Doing very well for myself. that was great. That was probably our best win as for the club.
Certainly in the last 10 days.
Cry.
It's not going to take much. that was pretty fucking awful.
Yeah.
Now, I was talking to you before the show and trying to get a gauge of, you know, your history as a supporter, like why you ended up at the Giants and stuff. You have a Brett DeLidio-esque fucking tragedy story.
This is, yeah.
Yeah.
You're a former Tiger supporter.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck that up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I grew up in Perth and for no apparent reason was a Tiger supporter. And then moved to Sydney the year that the Giants started and rebirth. It's gonna all good. I'm actually still happy with my choices. I'm not gonna be a Tiger supporter for the rest of my life.
But you would have been there during the 160 point floggings in the early days, and we saw you guys. Clearly, a team of kids who were gonna be great. Was it hard during the first few years when you were like savage floggings, but clearly we're gonna get better?
Yeah, I mean, that was why it was so interesting to get on board when I did. Because you'd go out, and it's a great stadium. You know, at that time, there was just a few people. Like, it was very easy to get on the broadcast. Yeah. You could just, you know, you could... It was. You could just yell whatever you wanted. You know, I fought Treloar, and Treloar won. We had a few. Which I turned into De Boer for the grand final. No one got on board, and it didn't work.
You could sit wherever you wanted.
Yeah,
it's in a whole
leg room. Leg room.
Yep.
No lines.
Great food.
You can ask to play off the halfback flank in the first couple of seasons. They let you have a run.
They let you coach. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. So it was. I mean, it's been great. It's been fantastic. Yesterday, not so good.
Charlie and I talk about this a lot on the podcast, which is the idea of: would you rather your team, like, if they lost the grand final, if you get offered the choice, do you still prefer to have the week and know that it comes with the loss, or would you have preferred to have lost in the prelim and not gone into grand final?
I would say beating Collingwood in a grand prelim. Every time. Yeah. It's the furthest we've got. We would have been the team that just, you know, couldn't get past the prelim.
Were you there for the Doggies prelim?
No, I was in Perth at the Giant supporter group function.
That would have been pumping.
Yeah, what they didn't tell me at the time was they also ran the Western Bulldogs Perth supporter group. So when I rocked up, it was just a room full of Dogs fans.
Oh, really?
Which was the same at Giant Stadium at the prelim. But as someone myself, I've seen my team win grand finals. I've seen us lose incredibly close ones. And I've seen us at one where at halftime you go, this is probably over. Would you prefer yesterday, or if it had rolled out that you lost with 10 minutes to go, a couple of back-to-back goals, but until halfway through the last quarter, thought, my God, we could win. Would you prefer that, or in some ways is it better that, no offence, you just weren't good enough?
Yeah, shat the bed. It's a tough one because I met up with a mate of mine at halftime. She was sitting somewhere else, and she was like, "This is better. It's better to know that when we've got no chance, I can relax." You know, it's not great being like sort of. It's amazing. I've never been to a grand final. This is my first grand final, and everyone gets in the aisle, so you can't leave at after the final siren. Obviously, you can't go. Oh, okay, they've won. I'm not going to watch the medal presentation. They lock you in there, which is it's great.
That's actually one thing I kind of respected about all the Giants fans. You could see it around the crowd that everybody kind of hung around and watched.
I was surprised like how much orange there was. Yeah. It helps that we're wearing high vis. but yeah, it was a lot. It was, you know, in Brisbane, it was really loud. Like I'd never been to the Gabba before as well. And I was surprised, like that was a more hostile crowd than Collingwood, which I did not expect that.
What was your highlight of the week leading up to the game? Because that's the thing. Like, there is so many exciting things that happen in the week in the lead up. So what was the best thing that happened?
I mean, social media. We've become the meme team, yep. Which I'm pretty happy with. The social media team at the Giants is very, very good. So, yeah, obviously all those memes, getting on board with that is a lot of fun.
I mean, Jeremy Finlayson did them. He was so tired on Saturday.
Exhausted. Do you think the decision to put your key players in charge of social media for the 48 hours before the game might have backfired?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a lot to do with the club? Like, are you down there? And
So I moved to Sydney and I'm an actor, so I don't have much to do.
Yeah.
And, so I would go out to the jobbings and get... And you know, get rained on and we get beaten by 100 points every week. But it was kind of, you started meeting people just through the club, and then I started tweeting quite aggressively. And then, it just built up, and I didn't have any money when I moved to Sydney. So someone bought a foundation membership and I nicked it. And then they weren't going to the game. So I started, and then I just kept going and... then this year they made me an ambassador, which is nice. You know, you get to go to all the functions and whatnot.
What are some of the perks of being an ambassador? Do you get a limo with a little flag on the front?
Yeah.
Get diplomatic immunity?
He can headbutt as many police officers as he wants.
Yeah, yeah.
It just gets waved through.
The
one thing that I've completely forgotten what I was going to ask.
Can I ask one then, please, while you're thinking of it? Because okay, so you're an actor, and I'm going to... how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 28.
Okay, so good demo for this. So if GWS say next year, coming off the back of this, go and they win the premiership, and then that's a historic story in Australian sport, and they make a movie about it, surely you're the guy that they have to cast in this movie, right? So who would you like to play in GWS the movie when they make it into a movie?
I have been in Melbourne for, you know, over the last 2 weeks, and I've been copping a bit of, it's Toby Green's brother.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got it. My dad told me when I was about 10 that I had a very hittable face.
This has turned into a therapy session for an actor, hasn't it? Oh.
Charlie said I had to cry, so that's good. Here we go. No, I did. He did. My brothers are both very gentle, and he said, "You got a mean streak and a hittable face, so watch out." So, yeah, I reckon Toby Green's probably got... I think he's got the same thing.
I'd like to play Shane Mumford in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Scarface.
Yeah.
You're really method about your acting.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
You've got to do your research. Yeah, exactly. You've got to go to Bolivia. You've got to meet the farmers. Yeah.
I feel like the only thing that's missing on your face to Toby Green is you need bigger teeth. So I'd like you to Bohemian Rhapsody up for the role. Like, put in the bigger teeth. That's all I want.
What I want to ask was that Will and Charlie have discussed this. They went to a game at the Giants Stadium. And when your guys kicked a goal, the cheering just erupted from the crowd, some of which might have been pre-recorded and pumped through the speakers. Can you confirm or deny that there is a bit of a pre-recorded soundtrack that runs under the GWS goals? And is it the same guy just on loop?
The story that I got told was they mic'd up Michael Shalato, whatever his name is. He's our Joffa. And he, yeah, I know, it's a thing. Like, every time I have a thing, I'm like, what is... Anyway, so they mic'd him up dangerously.
So what do they do, go down to Centrelink and just go, oh, here you go. Yeah.
He's our Joffa. That's such a great thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't even discussed the fact that Joffa's leaving, by the way. We'll have to get back to that.
Heading to Fiji.
You know, Joffa's leaving. Yeah, heading to Fiji. Can I live in Fiji? Joffa's leaving.
Why don't we talk about it now? Joffa's leaving Australia.
Yeah. Big day for trout, I say.
Big trout day to shine.
Well, that'll probably come up in the trade period, won't it?
Yeah. We actually tried to get him in 2010, but he wouldn't move.
Well, Joffa's worth at least a second round pick, maybe a late first round.
Can you get a linen gold jacket? Because it'd be quite hot. Like, it's pretty fucking... It's pretty balmy over there.
Do we have a reason why Joffa is moving to Fiji?
Yeah, like for lifestyle reasons, economic lifestyle reasons. He's going to go over and he's the queen of the village has like passed him into this village in Fiji and he's going to go and...
What?
Yeah. I know. Isn't it amazing I know so much about Joffa? But I...
he's just going to sit back, drink kava and just ride it out.
Yeah, literally, he's over there. He's worked really hard in his life. He's done a lot of charity and stuff and he's going to go and live in Fiji because he can't afford to live in Melbourne anymore. He's going to go and there's no internet or TV, so he can't watch Collingwood games in the village. So he's going to have to go to a local internet cafe and watch, like, the pies fly on the internet cafe
Fiji. What's the situation where a club like Collingwood, who are just so minted, they don't know what to do with the money they've got? You got a cold, fuck it, go to America, sit in a hyperbaric chamber for a month, we'll fly back first class. They can't throw a bit of coin Joffa's way.
And also...
He's got a gold jacket. And also, just trade that in.
Exactly. just sell a sleeve.
$17 million, yeah.
Just take a sleeve down to Cash Converters and you could buy him bloody Toorak.
I talk about it like he can't afford Melbourne. I've seen him do interviews at his house and guarantee you, he's not paying much rent on that place, all right? It's a fixer-upper, all right?
So he's not doing very well for himself.
So they mic'd up your head cheer guy. He's the one behind all the wheelie bins and all that. So they mic'd him up and that's the feed?
That's the company line.
Yeah, that is the biggest bullshit story I've ever heard in my life.
Or he is the greatest performer who can reproduce note perfect the same chant 58 times in a game.
But also, here's all I'm saying is there is no... I've worked in broadcasting and the one thing I know that is true is that you don't just give some rando who loves the football club open access to just say whatever they fucking like at any stage. That does not... Like, the first thing you hear is, you're a cunt, Razor Ray! That's what it would be.
Yeah. I wouldn't... Yeah, no way. I wouldn't give it to myself. No way.
Can we talk quickly? We'll wrap it up shortly, folks. But can we talk quickly through like your day yesterday? If that's okay. Like, you know, from morning to...
Sure. So it was all going pretty well.
Did you go to a breakfast or did you go and do something around the ground?
No, we went the night before and went to the Coopers, which is where the, you know, they had giants thing there going on there. And so, we were drinking the
beer. Was that also booked with the Western Bulldogs? Was it a bit awkward or was it just exclusively GWS?
No, it's plenty of GWS. 30,000 members. Only
10,000 wanted tickets.
Yeah.
I mean, 15,000 people, 15,000 dogs, but that's fine. It's all fine.
So we went and drank a big, big sound lager. and then, we did exactly what people told us not to do, which is get tanked the night before. and then in the morning we went checked out the... Oh, sorry, that day we went and checked out the parade, which was all right. A lot of people heckling Toby Green. So top stuff, that'll go in the movie. We chilled out in the morning, went and got some beers and watched all the Richmond fans stream in. And then, we just went to... I didn't go to the function,
So you didn't go to the pub function after the game?
Well, yeah, no, I didn't.
So you're a good ambassador.
I went, yeah. I remember going down to the rooms after the Essendon game this year that I was down here shooting the show. And they came back, kicked 5 goals in the last quarter and went down to the rooms after that. And that was
a fairly somber affair.
Yeah, it was pretty bleak. I just thought, we grabbed some cheese and bottles of wine from the MCC and went home and watched... Someone. Yeah, classic. Great joke. Get around it.
Can I answer?
It's not a happy thing.
It was awful.
In retrospect, at least you did drink the night before and had a good time then.
Exactly.
You knew. Because the people were saying, don't get drunk the night before, it'll ruin your day. But the players did that for you.
Exactly.
Dad.
If a few of them hadn't been out getting pissed with you, it all could have gone a bit different.
Mate, you don't have to worry about not turning up to the fucking aftermatch. They didn't turn up to the actual fucking match.
Just quick, but because I know.
Sorry, we haven't got long. I just need to break you.
I know what it's like to see you guys not perform on the big stage. Yesterday was horrible, but just quickly, who are the three guys in the team week in, week out you just love? Yeah. Who are the guys who just you think that's why I love this team?
And then give us the three who are the hottest, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
To two decimal points.
I've got one of those lists. Zach Williams. Yeah. Love him.
He was massive last week against Scotland.
And he's been massive. Williams. He's been very good for a couple of years. He's an incredible mm-hmm. player. Nick Haynes just never stops.
Yeah, reliable.
And probably, I mean, Tim Taranto. He's just been incredible. Hot. One.
Should Phil Davis have played? As a fan, do you think that Phil Davis should have played?
Yeah, it's a tough one, that. Like, we had, middle of the year, Toby Green came out and captained because our whole leadership group was out.
That would have been an interesting team meeting during the week, Toby captaining. I've got this, boys.
But, you know, yeah, so Keith would have come in and then probably Josh Kelly would have captained and you just go, oh, yeah, not sure. I probably would have played Keith, yeah. But, you know, if he says he's right, he's right. Clearly and he's not.
If we can give you any kind of solace, it's so not uncommon for teams to lose a grand final and the very next year to win one. So back up, buddy. There's always a chance next year and you are a great team.
Thanks, mate.
Can we please give a round of applause to Alex Williams?
Thanks, Alex.
Now the Giants. Buy him a drink. And Alex, I'm sorry, you might want to leave the room. I'm sorry for this finale. You might want to leave the room because we're going to have to finish with the song, man. I'm sorry, we're going to have to finish with the song.
Well, there's a big,
Richmond
big
fans,
sound.
Richmond fans, get it going, get it going, get it going, get it going, get the song going.
We're from Tigerland, a fighting fury, we're from Tigerland. In any weather you will see us with a grin. Okay.
Why isn't anyone singing?
If we're behind, then never mind, we'll fight and win, for we're from Tigerland. We never weak until the final siren's gone. Like the tiger of old, we're strong and we're bold, for we're from Tiger, yellow and black, we're from Tigerland.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming along tonight. Very kind of you. Please give a round of applause to our guests, Alex Williams, Senator Richard Di Natale, Adam Spencer, Charlie Clausen, Will Anderson, Adam Rosenbach. We'll see you next year. Go Hawks!
Go Blues!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.